I don't think there's a way to test that.
I'm sure there is, it's probably not legal.
That's when you start wearing adult diapers.
And we're back and better than ever. Actually, I probably shouldn't set the expectations too high, should I?
Yeah.
How about a simple we're back? Does that work for you?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try that again. And we're back. That's kind of fun to do. What's up, listeners? I'm Mike.
I'm Aaron.
And we are your hosts. We would like to thank you for listening and hopefully downloading this episode and hopefully all other episodes of the Applesauce Podcast, which, if you don't realize, that's what you're listening to right now, the Applesauce Podcast. We are coming to you from the newly updated 510 Studios. We've got an awesome episode. There I go setting expectations again. We've got an episode for you today. So if you're ready, Aaron, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, well, let's get started then. So I want to start off with a real life situation here. So my wife went to the doctor the other week and she was required to give them authorization to contact her regarding her medical info. That in itself is odd, at least to me. I mean, I understand having to give authorization to speak with someone else regarding your own medical information, but not your own, not you, you know? I mean, I could give authorization to speak to a parent or a sibling or a child or a friend or someone like that, but to have to give them permission to contact you about your medical information, it's a little odd, wouldn't you say?
So it's like signing a form saying, hey, you have my permission to tell me about my health.
Yeah, and it kind of got me thinking a couple of things. The first thing is, why would you not give them authorization? You're going to the doctor for a reason. I mean, are you just so terrified of the news that you're like, I don't want to know, just you do the test, but don't tell me the results, please, I don't want to know.
I don't know. You could have, like, maybe you're too old and you need a caretaker.
But you would authorize the caretaker to know. I mean, I guess in that case you'd say, tell my caretaker, don't tell me yet, maybe?
Maybe.
I don't know. But the other thing that more interesting that got, not more interesting, the other thing that got me thinking a little deeper was, the thing was she had to approve them to email her or call her or text her and gave her different options. Gave them different options for contact and which method she preferred. It got me thinking, what would be the worst way to receive your medical information from the doctor?
So are you talking about like through letters?
Yeah.
Or like, okay.
Like okay, maybe you choose to do, you know, like the Pony Express, which may take a few weeks to get to you, and by the time you may be dead or it may be too late to treat whatever it is you need to treat it.
I think it'd take a little longer than a few weeks because the Pony Express isn't a thing anymore.
You're probably right. They'd have to find someone. They'd have to go back a ways and hire people. It would be a long process, you know.
They could send it via carrier pigeon.
I guess they still exist, don't they, carrier pigeons?
I think so.
Like other countries. Do we use carrier pigeons in the U.S.?
No.
How does a carrier pigeon even know where to go?
I don't know.
I mean, do you like have to like fly with it the first time or like walk in the street and go, here's where you go to this, and then you come back? I mean, how does he know? I don't know. I don't understand carrier pigeons.
That's a question for another podcast, I guess.
We have to have a guest on smarter than us to know that one, though. But I thought about, too, what about like a singing telegram? You know, someone comes to your door or even better, your office to sing to you. And I got a couple examples. So I thought a lot like a nursery rhyme style. Yeah. So bear with me here. I'm going to try to sing for you. You know, I got to get the tune.
Let me get my earplugs.
This is the tune to Mary Had a Little Lamb, okay? Mary had a little rash. Her skin was white and flaky. That didn't flow right. Wherever Mary would scratch, it was sure to spread. Okay? Nursery rhyme style, you know?
I don't think that fits, but it works.
Okay. Then I thought, like, you could do, like, the hardcore metal, you know, the... Yeah. Just your head bang. You have terminal cancer. You're going to die next month. Please pay your bill immediately. You know?
What about, like, yodeling? Tennis!
You got constipation and you can't poo. Then I thought, what about like an airplane with those large banners you see flying around at different events, you know, and just had a big sign up there. It's like, hey, Aaron, your results came back. You have herpes.
that wouldn't be very fun.
I guess it'd have to be more like specify which Aaron, because what if there are like more than one Aaron's there looking at the plane and some guy's like, I got herpes, and it really wasn't talking to him, and he's freaking out, running around, oh, you know?
What about, like, if you, like, received a package at your door, you open the package, and out pops a jack-in-the-box saying...
That would be terrifying.
You have gonorrhea.
like a clown's, like...
Yeah.
Oh, that would be terrifying.
With, like, music playing and, like, confetti.
Yay! Yay! Surprise! You got gonorrhea! Oh, my gosh. And just, I gotta make a disclaimer here is, we're not making fun of the diseases or the people who have these. We know these are real diseases and these can cause real harm. We're making fun and mocking the way that they are transported to people. The way that, you know, so please don't send us emails or comment about how we're disrespecting people who have diseases. That's not what we're doing. Okay, off my soapbox, sorry. Not to ruin
if you get a text message from your doctor? So, like, you get a text message. Hey, Mike. What's up, Brian? You have herpes. Oh, cool.
Okay, the part that bothers me is I wouldn't call my doctor Brian. And people are like, eh, what's up, doc? Or something, you know? I wouldn't say Brian. Or what's up, Dr. Johnson? Or, you know, the other thing, a text message, what if it was, like, all emojis? It's just nothing but emojis they're responding to, and you had to figure out what they're trying to say. How would you say chicken pox? I guess you could do chicken pox. You could do a chicken.
Polka dots. A dot.
Chicken dots. Dot. Chicken dot. Multiple dot. Chicken dots. It would be pots, maybe. Or chicken in like a marijuana leaf. Chicken pots.
But it's...
That's pots.
Chicken pox. We're not doing chicken pots.
You know, I don't know, but some of the other, like, you know, like I don't know how you do some of the odder diseases.
What if your doctor sends home, like, your child with, like, the name of the disease shaved into their hair?
I'd torture the kid, though.
He walks into school with herpes shaved into his head.
What about smoke signals? I don't know how they work, and I don't know if it's like Morse code. Or is it just...
I believe it's like Morse code.
Because I guess the Indians can't, like... I say Indians. I mean, they were the ones, I guess, that did smoke signals a lot. But yeah, whoever doing it, I guess you can't really shape the clouds into certain designs. Like a chicken floating up there. You just have to
It'd be more of a blanket blowing...
Like a dash, dash, dot, dot, dash, dot. So yeah. You really have... That'd take a while.
Yeah, one of my points was Morse code.
You're just getting a Morse code message. What if they're texting you? Dot, 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 dash, 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 dot. And you're having to decipher for the text in Morse code. Oh, me. Any other ideas?
I got nothing.
Okay. Well, let's move on to some of our world famous would you rather questions. Question number one. Aaron, would you rather have legs for arms or arms for legs?
So you're saying, like, I'd have four arms or four legs?
Correct.
I kind of want to have four legs just to, like, run around on all four to be really scary. But at the same time, opposable thumbs, man. You got to have four arms.
That's what I was thinking, is if you've got four arms, does that give you four hands? If it does, I think that's the way to go, because you're right. You could do so much more with two extra hands.
But you'd be a lot less scary.
You'd be shorter, and you wouldn't be, because your legs have a lot of your power, so you wouldn't be as strong.
You could.
But you could climb.
Yes, like a monkey. You swing around your home.
You could climb, like, but you know, you wouldn't be as fast. Like, if you had four legs, you have speed, because you could run faster with four legs. But you couldn't pick up anything.
Just someone with all four legs sprinting down a track.
Yeah, you'd be a track star.
The next Usain Bolt with four legs.
Oh, dude, you gave Usain Bolt four legs? Dude, he could run, like, on two legs, and then they get tired, drop, run the other two legs, get tired, come on the other two. I mean, he could just keep going for days.
Oh, that's right. You do a flip, Keep running. Do a flip. Keep running. Yeah. That way you don't lose your momentum.
Yeah. That would work. So, like, you could have, like, you could set, like, marathon records because you wouldn't fatigue because you could give your legs a break and switch your other legs and go back and
forth. But that'd be really smelly. Like, if you have your legs so close to your head and your feet, you'd really smell.
But no armpits.
That's true.
Would they be leg pits then, though? Because they're still attached to their shoulders.
Yeah. That's weird, and it really would smell.
But it wouldn't be shoulders. It would now be an extra set of hips.
No, it is shoulders. I think it'd be shoulders, because hips are, like, all one thing.
But shoulders. So your shoulders and your hips are both, like, a ball and socket type joint. I wonder if the leg bone would still fit in the shoulder, or would you have to, just, like, redesign that whole joint? I don't know.
I don't think there's a way to test that.
I'm sure there is. It's probably not legal. But I think the having if having arms for legs would give you hands instead of feet, I would definitely go with the four hands, the four arms, the four hands. I just think having four sets of hands would be so much more useful.
How would you get around in, like, outside where you can't grab onto stuff and swing?
You would still walk on those bottom two arms. You'd have to build the strength up to where you can walk on them.
That'd be rough.
I think initially, but if you were born that way, it's just like anything. Like a baby's born, their muscles aren't defined in their legs. They have to build the strength of legs to walk. So
yeah, but
develop those.
What if it's like you go to your local wizard and you ask him and he goes, poof, now you have four arms.
See, that would be... That would then be difficult. But I still think I want the four hands. I really want that. I think having no hands and 4 feet, there's so much stuff you can't do.
Well, you could very easily make a lot of money by scaring a bunch of people off. Because, like, if you're a man with 4 legs running super fast into a bank, people are going to run.
Yeah, it's like something from, like, The Exorcist or something. It'd be, like, really, really weird. Yeah, I still think I want the four hands. I want the four hands. I'll go with the four arms.
I think I'm going for the 4 legs just because of that last comment I made.
You're gonna be the scary neighbor, the scary, like, the scary clown with 4 legs down the street.
I'm gonna pop up over the fence with my 4 legs.
All right, let's go. Next question. Aaron, would you rather have to announce to everyone around you whenever you have to fart or pee your pants daily?
Oh, I don't know about that. Ah.
I think it's a pretty simple answer. I think it's a really obvious answer here for me.
What if I wear really dark pants, but then it'd smell?
Yeah, but the problem with peeing your pants is it's now wet. So now you end up with a lot of friction, a lot of chafing, a lot of rashes, irritations, because you're walking, you're sitting in wet. It's just, that's nasty. But I have to announce when I have to fart. So what? Oh, fart coming, people. Sorry. You know, I mean, it may be a little embarrassing, you know, like in a restaurant, or maybe you're at a funeral and you go, oh, sorry, I got to fart, people, you know. But
what if I just keep an extra set of pants on me? So I pee on pants and switch it out. There we go. That's my one pants peeing for the day. I'm done.
Well, if you can control when that happens and make sure it happens at home, like you're in the bathtub or showering, that's fine. But what if you can't control when it happens? It just happens randomly. So you may be walking through the supermarket and you're going down picking up ice cream, and all of a sudden you just start peeing.
That's when you start wearing adult diapers.
That's true. You could do that, but I can't imagine adult diapers be that comfortable to wear, because you have to wear them at least, you'd have to wear them all through the day, at least till the first pee. And then once it happened, you could take them off and be normal. But what about those days that it comes, like, late at night? Or what if it's while you're sleeping and you're peeing yourself?
Well, you can still stay in the diaper while you sleep.
I guess you could. Now, I've got no problem announcing my farts. I don't care. I have no shame.
I kind of don't like that idea. I have some shame.
I don't. I could care less. In fact, in a way, I almost want to start doing that now, just to do it for fun, just to start announcing everybody, sorry, I got a fart, you know, just raise my hand up or stand up, let one rip. If you let it rip loud enough, it announces itself, though, you know? I mean,
in the middle of a school project, you know, stand up, raise your hand, I got a fart, or like a school assembly, or like...
What if everybody did that so you just knew who farted, so you knew who to avoid? That guy, oh, I saw that guy over there said he had a fart, I'm going to stay away from the air for a few minutes, let it air out.
Huh.
It would be almost like a courtesy, because... Probably one of the worst things you can do is walk into an elevator if someone just farted and left. It's a fun thing to do on your own if you're the one farting and leaving, but it's really awful when you go, when you're the one coming in behind somebody. But if that person walked out and said, "Hey, I just farted," as they walk out, you know, oh, let me catch the next elevator. You know, or they come out of a room or something. "Hey, I just farted. Oh, let me give it a few minutes. I'm going to go somewhere else for a while," you know?
What if it's also like you fart multiple times a day sometimes, so you'd have to announce it multiple times a day? Peeing your pants would only affect you once a day.
Yeah, but to me, that's so much more embarrassing. Even if you don't announce it, I guess you wear the diaper, but if you couldn't wear the diaper, you had to dress like you do now. No special underwear, no special pants. And so when you pee, it's just going to be a wet spot in your pants. It's going to run down your legs and get in the floor. That's more embarrassing. That I would announce my farts 20 times a day as opposed to just see me pee in my pants every day.
Just stop drinking water.
Well, then eventually you die. I think I'd rather just announce my farts than die.
Well, if you drink less water, then theoretically your pee would be less.
You're dehydrated, your pee comes out yellower, like darker yellow. That doesn't help anything.
Are you sure?
And it's going to smell worse, too. You want to drink more water so it doesn't smell as bad.
Okay.
Because dehydrated pee, like, really stinks.
So then just drink a bunch of water.
If you ate a lot of beets, your pee comes out red. I think if you eat a lot of asparagus, your pee comes out green. So you could change the color of your pee if you wanted to and just vary it from day to day, you know, and just have different colored pee.
Scare people?
I could see you right around your four legs, cock your leg in the store somewhere, pee something red out, and then run off. That would terrify somebody.
That definitely would.
Okay, let's move on. We're getting too far into this one. All right, next question. Aaron, would you rather use eye drops made of vinegar or toilet paper made from sandpaper?
Eye drops made of vinegar, because I use toilet paper a lot more than I use eye drops. Sandpaper would hurt, unless there's always a backside to the sandpaper. So you could take it, rip it off, fold it the other side, and then wipe like that. It still wouldn't be as comfortable, but it wouldn't hurt as much.
There's one thing that I don't like to skimp on, and that's toilet paper. I don't care. I will buy generic on a lot of things. I will save on a lot of things. I don't like toilet paper that's not a high enough quality. That's just an area that I don't want to give into. So I am not taking sandpaper for toilet, because you know how uncomfortable that would be. I mean, I would just have to stop wiping. Which I guess you could. You could use a bidet where it uses water. Or you could just shower after every time you pooped, you know?
Clean it like that?
Yeah, I mean, because I am not using sandpaper. I don't care what. I don't care if I go blind from the vinegar in my eyes. I am. Oh, that's a tough thing to say, to give up my sight. I'm not using sandpaper. It's just giving me the heebie-jeebies just thinking about wiping my butt with sandpaper.
It's a minor inconvenience versus a loss of one of your senses.
But I don't think vinegar would. I don't think vinegar would cause you to lose your eyesight.
It would hurt a ridiculous amount, though.
I don't know. I've put hydrogen peroxide in my eyes before by mistake. I have contacts, and one of my cleaners that I use, I don't use anymore, I used to use, was basically hydrogen. It's like 3% hydrogen peroxide. And one morning I got up half asleep and thought it was my saline solution, and I was rinsing my contact out with it, put it in my eye, and my eye just got red, immediately irritated. It took a couple hours for it to clear out, but it did. And I go back to what one of the first things you said was, I wipe my butt pretty regularly. I don't use eye drops that often.
Yeah, that's true.
So I could get around probably without ever having to use eye drops again. I could probably survive. Maybe. I guess the one time you needed the eye drops and your eyes were like really dry and irritated and you had to put vinegar in there, that would not be good.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I am not using sandpaper filter. I'm sorry. I refuse, no matter what.
Well, you'd always have eye drops around the house because you have vinegar more often than you have eye drops around the house.
Yeah, it's true. I would sacrifice a finger to not have to use sandpaper. I would give up a finger just so I could
vinegar
use
smells.
Real toilet paper.
Vinegar smells a bunch.
Yeah, but if you're not wiping your butt, you're going to smell anyway.
Well, you wipe it with the backside of the sandpaper.
I don't think it's going to work very well. I don't think that's going to get as much out as you think.
I don't know, man.
Well, you try that. Let me know how you come back and let us know how that works out for you.
I don't think I will.
All right. Next question. This question gives me the heebie-jeebies thinking about it. All right. Here we go, Aaron. Would you rather have 500 tarantulas crawling around your house? Oh, I know, that's bad, but wait. Or 1,000 crickets jumping around your room?
The crickets. I can't stand tarantulas.
I don't either, but crickets are the most annoying creatures in the world. That chirping they do. If you ever have like one cricket, it chirps and it echoes, and you cannot find that stupid thing to get rid of it.
Yeah.
If you got 1,000 of them, that chirping will never stop.
Are you allowed to like take a flamethrower to your room?
I mean, you would. I guess the only thing about the crickets in your room is you could just live in the rest of the house. Although you could be in the other room and those things are chirping, you're going to hear 1,000 of them chirping, so you can't get away from that chirp. I would go literally insane if I heard 1,000 crickets chirping constantly.
But tarantulas, man. I have an extreme fear of spiders. I can't live with that.
Do tarantulas bite?
I'm pretty sure most spiders do.
I guess if they're... I mean, I think tarantulas is not an aggressive... They're not aggressive spiders. No. But I would guess if you got 500 of them, there's a risk of getting up in the middle of the night or sometime and stepping on one of them.
And it would hurt.
And it would hurt. It would bite you. It would attack you. And if one attacks, do they all turn on you? Because these things are all 500 all over your house. So everywhere you go, there's... I mean...
If it was 10, I'd be cool with tarantulas. 500 is way too many. Crickets, I can handle. Because technically, they're all in one spot. So, you know, if you just, like, either soundproof the room somehow, like, entirely.
Yeah.
Or you just flamethrower.
No, noise canceling headphones.
Then you can't hear anyone else.
I don't care. If I could block. Because if all I hear is 1,000 crickets, you could talk. I'm still not going to hear you. I'm just going to hear the crickets chirping.
You open your window whenever your neighbor annoys you. And then just leave. Go on a vacation for the week.
Now, I guess the question is, how long do tarantulas live? A tarantula will outlive a cricket. Because crickets don't live very long, I would
crickets
think.
Crickets don't live very long.
So I would guess in this case, 1,000 crickets would eventually die off, right?
That's true.
So the time frame would be less. Maybe you take the 1,000 annoying, obnoxious crickets and just fight through it. Because I'm with you. Even just one, if I just knew there was one tarantula in my house, I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, just you told me there was one somewhere in my house, and I don't know where, I would probably even walk in the house.
What, like the one right there?
Don't do that to me. I will go screaming out of here like a little girl, and you won't see me again if I turn around, there's a tarantula over there.
Oh, trust me. If I saw there was a tarantula over there, I wouldn't have enough time to tell you before I fled.
So if I just see you running, I know there was going to be a tarantula behind me then. Is that what you're saying? All right. Now, I've got a couple questions for us to answer and discuss here, okay?
Okay.
First question is, there's a lot of is. The first question is. It's weird because this question starts out with the word is.
It does?
So would you, is the first question is, and then I go is to start the question. That's weird to say it that way.
Not really.
The first question is cereal soup?
My answer is no.
Explain, please.
What's your answer first?
Well, my gut reaction is to say no, but then I start thinking about it going, gosh, you know, because at first I say there's no way. There's no way cereal is just not soup. It's just cereal in milk. But then I start thinking and going, maybe it could be. I think just no, it just doesn't fit.
So I looked up the definition of soup. And one, I'd like to point out definition number two, a substance or mixture perceived to resemble soup in appearance or consistency. So to define soup, it basically said, it looks like soup.
I mean, cereal, and some cereals can look like soup.
Yes.
You could have alphabet cereal and alphabet soup.
But the definition I want to focus on is the one with the example is literally a bowl of tomato soup rather than the waves of the water beyond have become a thick brown soup. Meaning, so the first definition...
What? You lost me on this here.
Okay, so the second definition, describing soup as something that looks like soup, was meant for metaphorical purposes, I assume.
Okay.
Whereas this first definition, a liquid dish typically made by boiling meat, fish, or vegetables, etc., in stock or water. Okay. That last bit is what counts cereal as not a soup.
Well, milk can be considered a stock.
Of what?
Cow stock.
But there's beef stock already.
Okay, well, you could have beef. It's not beef. You have cow liquid stock. I don't know. You could have. What about coconut stock? You could use coconut milk or almond stock. That'd be almond milk.
I don't want to count that.
And I mean, there's some soups. There are some soups that are cold soups. Not all soups are warm. You can have a cold soup. I'm telling you, it's not as cut and dry as you think.
Well, here's another one. A liquid food, especially with a meat, fish, or vegetable stock as a base. So, therefore, is almond or coconuts a meat, fish, or vegetable?
No, they're nuts. What's a nut? Nut, you know.
Exactly. That's why it's not soup.
But it says usually. It doesn't say it has to be one of those. It just says it's typically or usually one of those. It doesn't mean every particular case. Because you could have, I'm sure there are soups out there made with a nut base or an almond. You know, there's some kind of, there's got to be a milk. There are milk bakes, like chowders. A clam chowder. That's a milk-based fluid in there.
I don't want to call it soup.
Maybe not
though.
Milk. If I say milk, that's a cream. Maybe it's more of a cream base, not milk. But milk, you know, that's kind of cream milk. They're kind of like brothers and sisters to each other. They're siblings.
I don't know.
I think
I found another one. It's a creamy food that's usually hot and savory. Cereal is not hot and savory.
But you can have cold soups.
Yes, but soup can be served warm. I've never in the world seen cereal served warm.
You can have a hot milk on your cereal.
That's disgusting.
Oatmeal. Cereal served warm.
Oatmeal isn't cereal. Oatmeal is in its own category.
It could be considered. I think people consider oatmeal a hot cereal.
Well, no, because oatmeal absorbs the liquid, therefore it just becomes oatmeal.
Oh, cereal does too. Cold cereal does, because you ever had your cereal get soggy? You ever had soggy Frosted Flakes?
Well,
it's awful.
They do.
Your cereal absorbs the fluid as well.
They can call it oatmeal soup, though. I've never heard the Frosted Flakes soup before.
Okay, but I've heard oatmeal called cereal before. I have.
I've heard oatmeal as oatmeal soup, but that's the only kind of soup that I've heard that's not.
So if oatmeal is classified soup, then that actually bridges the gap. If you can classify oatmeal as soup, I can then make the transition from oatmeal to cereal and then make, in other words, if we can make the argument that oatmeal can be a soup, I can go from that and bridge it to cereal be a soup.
But I don't have a problem with oatmeal possibly being a soup. I do have a problem with oatmeal being a cereal.
Oh, that's it. That's oatmeal being a cereal is easier.
No.
Is yes.
No.
Yeah, you're wrong. You're wrong. Oatmeal is closer to being a cereal than it is a soup.
Nope.
And if oatmeal's a soup, then I still think my answer is no, cereal's not a soup, but I leave that open. It's not a hard no. Like, the door is still cracked open because I think there are examples that I just can't come up at the moment that would really test those boundary lines for me. I think there are some soups that if we really looked at them, we'd realize, oh, that's a cereal, you know? Although, the one thing that gets me is you pour your cereal in, you put your milk in, and they're done. A soup, you usually prepare it. There's usually more to it. You know, I can't think of a soup, and it's probably out there. I can't think of a soup where you just put liquid in with the ingredient, and that's it. You don't do any kind of preparation. You're not cutting up the vegetables. You're not cutting up the seasoning. You're not adding other stuff. You don't season your cereal. You season your soup.
Now I have another question for you.
Yes.
Is applesauce a soup?
No.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Because it is either water or apple based. And there are chunks of apple in there.
Yeah, but it's a sauce. It's right in the name, apple sauce. It's a sauce. A sauce is not a soup.
But it could be considered a soup, couldn't it?
Oh, cereal. Whoa. Now that, a cereal could be, the milk could be more of a sauce.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait, would cereal be like a salad?
No.
With the milk being the dressing?
No.
Like you have cold pasta salads?
No, you
have pasta and then you have like a liquid of dressing on top of it.
But you put the milk in before you put the cereal.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do.
You're weird. No, your cereal goes in first, your milk goes on top.
Oh my gosh.
If you put your milk in first, your cereal sits on top of the milk and it doesn't go down and then you don't get as much cereal in your bowl.
I don't eat cereal that often. Like, I haven't eaten cereal. I can tell. You obviously don't know what
cereal is, do you?
At least a year.
Okay, well, I think we both agree, no, it's not. I think we have, you're maybe a little harder no than I am, but okay, I think we're going to move on from that. So, here we go. Next question. And our final question for the episode is, how many chickens would it take to kill an elephant?
A lot.
As in?
A bunch. Plenty. Do you need more synonyms for a lot?
Well, I'm looking for more of like a number.
So you want me to say like 26, like specifically?
Yeah, I think it's more than 26.
Well, yeah, that was an example.
Although, I got to thinking though, you know, chicken, like eating raw chicken meat could kill you. So what if he ate one chicken? If the elephant ate one chicken, would that give him salmonella and kill him?
I don't think salmonella affects elephants though.
Elephants aren't carnivores, though, are they?
They aren't.
So I happen to
so
get,
they wouldn't eat the chicken.
So getting the elephant to eat, but if I could cut the chicken up and serve the elephant raw chicken meat, would that be enough to kill it? Because in that case, it wouldn't even take a whole chicken. Like I don't know, the size of an elephant, it may take more than one chicken. I don't know how much salmonella it takes.
Then again,
salmonella's got to affect an elephant.
Humans are pretty big, and just a little bit of salmonella infects and spreads.
Yeah, but an elephant is much bigger than we are.
Yes, but just because of the size doesn't mean a disease can't kill it just as easy.
So at that angle, you could probably get away with less. But let's take more. I think the what the question really is implying or asking is how many live chickens would it take to fight if you had chickens, an elephant fighting.
Pit fight.
Yeah, how many chickens would you have to put in there to kill it?
So you got an elephant on one side. Is this like an armored elephant or just an elephant?
Just a regular elephant. I mean, elephants, they got pretty tough skins. They're almost armored naturally.
Okay, so it's not like an Oliphant.
Ollie, what is it? What?
Okay, it's like the war elephant from like Lord of the Rings. They're these huge elephants with like a bunch of armor.
No, these aren't mammoths. These are just regular. This is an elephant. You go to the zoo and you see an elephant. And we just pluck the elephant right out of the zoo and put him in the Roman Colosseum. And I must say, Aaron, I'm going to give you how many ever chickens you need to defeat that elephant. But if you don't beat the elephant, you die.
That's a little harsh.
It is a little harsh. Although the problem is then you would just throw out 50 million because you could. You have to use the exact number. Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. I don't know if there's a number though because chickens peck and they're annoying. But would chickens? Would chickens actually,
I think the question is, can chickens kill an elephant?
I mean, a chicken, I don't think a chicken pecked at the hut. It would just be annoying, and the elephant would just step on and squash them. So yeah. I think it'd be more of a nuisance to the elephant. I don't know if you could put enough chickens in there to kill an elephant.
Well, you'd have to put enough chickens so that it would fill up whatever area you're fighting in, and then stack on top of each other until they make it to his eyeballs. They poke at his eyeballs. And they can't see, and then they slowly.
Yeah, but why wouldn't he just take his trunk and just flick that chicken away, and there would.
Because there's so many chickens. He'd flick those away, and then more would come.
But chickens aren't that aggressive. Chickens peck the ground. How are you going to train a chicken to peck an elephant?
If you've got chickens at a density of like 4.4 per one square meter, I think they're going to be pretty aggressive.
No, four. That's a lot of room. That's basically a 3-foot by 3-foot square, and you got 4 chickens. I don't think that's going to be.
Sorry. 12 per square foot.
I mean, you might need like 40 per square foot, and then you really got them stacked on top of each other then.
That's not them stacked, though. That's like squished all to get. Wow.
But I go back to the concept. would an elephant and a chicken even bother fighting each other?
I don't know.
They would just coexist. They wouldn't. They're not enemies. They're not natural enemies. So, and they're not really eating the same because they're not eating the same food. They're not fighting for food. The elephant eats what's up high because of his trunk. He'll just eat the leaves off the trees up high. The chickens go peck the ground for all the bugs and insects. So they would just coexist and live happily ever. So I think the answer is infinite. I mean, there is no answer.
You could make spam.
It's like an unanswerable. You could make spam. What?
Yeah, there's so much meat in there that if you were to take it all and just like,
are you saying spam is made of chicken and elephant meat?
No, spam is made of different types of meat. So you take
is elephant meat part of it?
Kill it. I don't think so because elephant meat isn't that common. But would that be considered like poaching?
You can poach an egg. Can you poach an egg? You can poach an elephant, too.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying,
what does an egg and an elephant have in common? They can both be poached.
That's a good joke.
It's not that funny.
I'm going to tell that one.
I doubt you'll get a laugh. I'm laughing more at the fact you're willing to tell it than I am at the joke itself. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. I think we've beat that chicken and elephant. Yeah. How many bad jokes would it take to kill an elephant?
Now, if you're in Arizona, camels are off limits.
Ooh, how many chickens would it take to kill a camel? What if you fought an elephant and a camel?
Now, you also wouldn't want to do this in Maine. Wasn't it Maine? That chickens can't cross the road. Because if the chickens were to wander off, you'd get
Georgia,
a fine.
Wasn't it?
It was Georgia.
What if the chicken crossed the road and the elephant came behind and got hit by a semi?
Ooh. But what if the chicken also got hit? So you'd need some backup chickens.
But you can have it, so you need two chickens. So sacrifice one and
you
save
send
the other
one in, and then you got the backup chicken in the back, and the elephant just meow.
Elephants are scared of mice. Are they scared of chickens?
I don't think so.
Would the chicken be enough to terrify the elephant? It would run off a cliff and kill itself.
I don't know.
I was ready to move on from this question, and that's why we got dragged right back into it. I was ready to wrap the show up, and now we're right back into the elephant and the chickens. I don't know how that happens. Anyway, all right. That's it. That's all for today, Aaron. That's it. We're done. We're cutting you off, okay? You good?
No.
Okay, well, you're done. Sorry. You can carry this on in your own sometime when we're done here. Anyway, so I want to thank everyone again for downloading and listening to the Applesauce Podcast. And as always, please take a moment to rate and review the show. That's the best way you can support us. Download it, rate it, review it, and then share it. That's four things, really simple to do, that would really, really help us out a lot. You can also reach us at theapplesaucepod@gmail.com. So send us an email, theapplesaucepod@gmail.com.
Theapplesaucepod@gmail.com.
You can also contact us through Facebook, facebook.com/theapplesaucepod.
facebook.com/theapplesaucepod.
And new, as of yesterday, we now have a Twitter account.
Yay. It is,
yeah, it's weird. The Applesauce Pod was already taken. But our Twitter handle is @PodApplesauce. @PodApplesauce.
@PodApplesauce.
Yeah, no space, no nothing, just @PodApplesauce on Twitter. So hit us up, email, Facebook, Twitter, send us, you know, any comments, any questions, any concerns, whatever. Any hate mail or comments, negative comments, address those to Aaron.
It's good fuel for the fire.
Yeah, and anything positive, you can send it to Mike, okay? Anything negative goes to Aaron, positive goes to Mike, all right? All right, with that, we are out of here.
Wait, no.
What? No. No more chickens and elephants. We're done. We're out of here. I'm sorry. Cutting you off. I'm stopping this right now.
That's pretty useless.